Okay, let's pick up with the Gemara and Daf Lamed Amud Beis at the very top. We had said in the Mishnah that if Reuven puts his straw into the middle of the Rishus HaRabim because he wants it to rot, so that he can make fertilizer, and then Shimon gets hurt, he gets damaged as a result of it, and so we said that Reuven would be liable for the damages. But the Mishnah said, Kol HaKodem Behen Zacha. Anybody who is the first to come and take that stuff that Reuven put out into the Rishus HaRabim is merits to this stuff, and it's his, it's rightfully his. So now we have a question, though. Remember, Reuven put straw out into the Rishus HaRabim. Let's assume that straw cost Reuven $100. So the straw that he puts out in its natural straw state is $100. Now, if he leaves it there for a long time, it'll decay, and now it'll be fertilizer, which will be very, very expensive. And let's say it'll jump up to $1,000. So now when we say, Kol HaKodem Behen Zacha, does that mean that somebody can come along and they can take the straw as it is and keep it? Or does it mean that someone can come along and take the fertilizer as it is and keep it? And they can do that free of charge. They don't have to compensate Reuven for anything. Or does it mean that no, maybe somebody else is allowed to take that fertilizer, but they still have to compensate Reuven for something? At the end of the day, Reuven did invest in straw, so he bought straw, or he obtained it from somewhere, and he put it out into the street. So maybe Reuven should have to be compensated for that straw. So that's our next discussion. So Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav, bein v'gufan, bein v'shifchan. When we say that somebody can be the first to come and take that stuff that Reuven put out into the street, that is whether it is the guf, the actual item that Reuven put out, whether it is the shvach, the item in its appreciated state. In other words, they are entitled to the value of the item, the value of the straw, and they are entitled to the value of it in its appreciated state as fertilizer. Uziri Amar B'Shivcha, and Ziri said, no, you're entitled to quickly go and take the stuff in its appreciated state, in its more valuable state, so you're entitled to the amount that it jumped up in value. Avaloba Gufan, you're not entitled to the actual item. Meaning to say, if you would come along and take Reuven's fertilizer, now that it's the straw in its fully decayed state as fertilizer, you'd have to compensate Reuven for straw. Okay, so that's the machlokas. Rav says you're entitled to the guf of the item and to the shvach, and Ze'iri says no, you're entitled only to the shvach but not to the guf. So the Gemara says, Mamayka Miflagi, what's the nekudas machlokas? What exactly are they arguing about? So Rav Savar, Kansu Gufan Mishum Shivchan. Rav says, well, you're entitled not only to the shvach but also to the guf because we want to penalize Reuven for having put out the guf in order to make a profit. So we penalize him not only on what he gains by putting stuff out into the Rishos HaRabim, but on the attempt and putting the item itself into the Rishos HaRabim. Uziri Savar, Lo Kansu Gufan Mishum Shevchan. No, Ziri says no, we do not penalize Reuven on the Guf because of the Shvach. In other words, the issue that we have with Reuven is that he gained as a result of doing something illegal in the Rishos HaRabim, but he is entitled to the value of the straw itself. Okay, so that's the machlokas. So the Gemara says as follows. Well, wait a second. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah that we had in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, at the very end of the Mishnah, we said, Ahofech Zagolol B'Rishos HaRabim V'Huzak B'Nachar. If somebody is flipping over dung in the Rishos HaRabim, so suppose Reuven is flipping over dung in the Rishos HaRabim, and somebody else gets damaged as a result of that dung. So Chai B'Nisko, Reuven is liable for the damages. Now, what doesn't the Mishnah say? V'ilu Kol HaKodem Zacha Lo Katani. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about somebody else being able to be the first to come and take that dung that Reuven illegally put into the Rishos HaRabim. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that? Why doesn't the Mishnah say that somebody is allowed to come along and take the dung? So presumably it's because when Reuven puts out dung into the Rishos HaRabim, that's already in its appreciated state. So in other words, we're not dealing with guf and shvach, we're dealing only with guf, the item itself. It can't go up in value any more than it is right now, so we're dealing with only with guf. And what do you see? You are not entitled to take the actual item that Reuven puts out. So this sounds like Ze'iri's opinion, right? Ze'iri says the only time that you're allowed to get involved and take the item that Reuven puts out into the Rishas Rabim is if you're taking Shvach. You're not entitled to the actual item. But Rav said you are allowed to take the item and you're allowed to take the Shvach. But the Mishnah sounds like now you're not allowed to get involved. You're not allowed to be the first to come and take the item that Reuven put out into the Rishas Rabim. So the Mishnah seems to be against Rav's point. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah, there were two parts. One was when Reuven is putting out straw, which is going to then turn into zevel. So he said, you're liable for the damages, and kol hakodem and zach. And then the Mishnah says, and if Reuven is flipping over galal, somebody else gets damaged, you're going to be liable, he's going to be liable for the damages. So the Mishnah, when it says kol hakodem and zach in the first part, it's tana l'resha v'hu adin l'seifa. It taught us this point of kol hakodem and zach in the first part of the Mishnah, but it also applies to the seifa. Okay. So the Gemara says, wait a second, the problem with saying that was Vahatani Allah Asur and Mishum Gezel, but I thought we learned in the Braisa that it is prohibited because of Gezel. In other words, there is presumably an Isser of Gezel, there's an Isser to take that item that Reuven put out into the Rosh Hashanah. It's prohibited to take the Galal that Reuven is flipping over in the Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Braisa tells us. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood that Raisa. Ki katani asur mishim gezel. Regarding what are we saying that you are there? There is a prohibition of gezel to take that galal. That's akulam astisim kai. That's referring back to the entire Mishnah, and that is laoser shakadam izacha. That's referring to the person who quickly was the first to come and take the stuff that Reuven put out. So it's very much his. Not only is it so much his that if somebody else would take it, they'd be in violation of gezel. That's what the Braisa meant when we said asur mishim gezel. Now the Gemara says, well, wait a second, v'halo katani acha, but we didn't teach that. What do you mean we didn't teach that? The Tanya, take a look at the Braisa. Hamotzi tivna v'kach l'Rosh Hashanah. If a person brings out his straw into the Rosh Hashanah lizvalim in order so that it can turn into fertilizer, to rot and turn into fertilizer, v'uzak ben acher, and someone else gets damaged as a result, chay b'nisko, you're liable for the damages. The kol hakodem and zacha, and anybody who is the first to come and take that stuff is merits in it. It's his. Now, what does the Braisa tell us? Umutter mishum gezel, and is permitted because of gezel. In other words, there is no issue of gezel. If a person is flipping over dung in Rosh Hashanah and someone else gets damaged, chayiv, you're liable, ve'asur mishum gezel, and there's a prohibition of gezel. So what does it sound like in this braisa? It sounds like when we say that there's a permissibility of gezel, what that means is there's no issue of gezel when you're taking it from the person who put it on the Rosh Hashanah. And when we say at the end of the braisa, asur mishum gezel, it sounds like there's a prohibition of gezel if you were to take it from the person putting out the dung in the Rosh Hashanah. So this seems to be against the way that we just interpreted the Mishnah. So Gemara says, which means that we're back to square one, that the Mishnah would be problematic for Rav, because the Mishnah sounds like the Mishnah, given the Braisa, the way that our Braisa, the first Braisa, we had to explain our Mishnah Daf Lamin, where it said Asur and Mishum Gezel, it sounds like it's Asur Mishum Gezel, meaning to say that there's a prohibition of Gezel to take the stuff that Reuven puts out into the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Galal Karamis, you're asking kashas, you're asking problems from the case of a galal of dung. Davar sheyish bo shvach kan tzu gufo mishum shvivcho. When you have an item that appreciates in value, then there is a knas, there is a penalty on the actual item because of the shvach of the item. Davar sheyish bo shvach, but when there is something that has no appreciated value, it does not go up in value, lo kan tzu, they did not penalize it. Meaning to say as follows. Remember, we had a machlokes between Rav and Ze'iri. Do you make a knas on the guf and the shvach, or only on the shvach? Now, if you think about it, this fellow, Reuven, is putting stuff out into the Rosh Hashanah. Now, he could be putting out one of two items. He could put out something into the Rosh Hashanah because he hopes that it jumps up in value, that it'll appreciate in value, or it could be putting something in the Rosh Hashanah just maybe to manipulate it, but not that it's going to appreciate in value. So when he's doing something illegal in order to gain from the Rosh Hashanah, something that can potentially go up in value, so that's when there's a knas. But if there's something that cannot jump in value, cannot jump up in value, you're not doing an illegal act in order to have your item appreciate, well, then there's no knas, then there's no penalty. And so that's why you can't ask kashas from Galal on our Mishnah, right? Again, the kasha was over here that how could Rav say that there's a knas on the guf and on the shvach? When a person is flipping over the galal in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're not entitled to take the galal. Well, of course you're not entitled to take the galal because there's no knas on the galal. Why is there no knas on the galal? Because the only time that there would be knas on an item that Reuven puts into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is if you're going to do an illegal act of using the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim for your stuff, in order so that it jumps up in value. But galal doesn't jump up in value, it won't appreciate. And so therefore, you're not entitled, there's no penalty on that item, you're not entitled to take it. Okay, so now the Gemara says as follows, Ibai Lahu, let's back up a second. We have the following question. L'divriya omer kansu gufin mishum shivchan. According to the opinion of Rav, where we say that you make a knas, and they made a penalty on the actual item because of the shvach, because of the profits, the attempted appreciation of value that he's trying to get. So le'alter kantinen, do we penalize immediately? O leki maisi shivcha kantinen, or do we have a knas? Do we make a penalty only once the shvach has been realized? In other words, only once it's jumped up in value. In other words, let's say Reuven puts the straw out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it has not yet become fertilizer. So when we say that there's a knas on the guf, does that mean only once the straw is turned into fertilizer, now you're entitled to take the fertilizer, and you don't have to compensate Reuven for the guf? Or do we say that no, the shvach is, the knas is, even if it doesn't appreciate in value, even if Reuven just puts out the straw and it hasn't appreciated in value yet, you're still entitled to take the guf. Okay, so that's the chakira of the Gemara. So the Gemara says as follows, Tashma, midakarinan, galal. Well, presumably we can address this question because we discuss a case of galal, and we bring it up relative as a kasha and rav. And so clearly, if we're bringing up the case of galal, it's because we are assuming that the knas is immediate. How do I know? Because if he yelled that the knas is only after it develops into shvach, then what kind of question are we asking from galal? You wouldn't have a question from galal. Remember, galal doesn't go up in value anymore. So the Gemara says, v'tisbra, is that logical? What kind of answer is that? Ki arin and galal, at what point were we bringing up the case of galal? That's mekami delishni Rav Nachman. That's only before we had Rav Nachman's answer. Lebasa deshan Rav Nachman. But once Rav Nachman gave us his answer, that there's a difference between an item that can appreciate in value and versus an item that cannot appreciate in value. So lebasa deshan Rav Nachman, miik lemir galal klal, would we be asking questions from galal? So now that we know that the whole reason for the knas is because of the shvach, so now we have a question. Is the knas immediate or is it not immediate? Is it immediate or is it only once the shvach has developed? Okay. So a little bit of a cliffhanger. So the Gemara says as follows. Lemekatanai, let's suggest that the machlokas between Rav and Zairi about whether we make a knas on the guf as well is also subject to a debate amongst the Tanai. Where do we find a machlokas tanam about this? So shtar shakas bo ribis, if you have a document that has interest written into it, so we know that of course it's prohibited to lend on interest. So if Reuven lends money to Shimon, he lends him $100. He writes up a document that says, I am happy to lend you $100 on condition that when you pay me back, you have to pay me back $110. So konsinos so, we penalize him, ve'enago velos hakeren, velos haribis. So Reuven who loaned the money is not entitled to collect even the $100, right? I might have made a case, Reuven is lending on interest. He's saying, I'm lending you $100, and he lends him the $100. And he says, but when you pay me back, I want you to pay me back $110. So you're not allowed to lend on interest. Well, let's say you did. So Shimon at least maybe should have to pay back the $100. So the Mishnah tells us, Shtar Shakatzabo Ribis, Konsin Oso, Ve'inogo Velosa Karen, Velosa Ribis. Divrei Remeir, according to Remeir, you're not allowed to collect the principal, the Karen, and you're not allowed to collect the interest. The Chacham, Mamar, the Chacham say, Gova Sakaren. No, you're entitled to collect the loan itself, the $100, Avalosa Ribis, but you're not entitled to collect the interest. So presumably, Lema Rav de Amar Kremer. Let's assume that Rav, who said we make a knas on the guf and on the shvach, so he holds a Kremer. Uzi'iri de Amar Kremer. And Zi'iri, who said, no, there's a knas only on the shvach, not on the guf, so he'll hold it the Chachamim. So So the Gemara says, no, Amar lecha Rav, Rav would tell you, Ana da Amri afilu l'Rabbanan. No, I can hold even like the Chachamim. How could a Rav hold like the Chachamim? The Chachamim say that in the context of ribbis, you're entitled to be paid back the loan, just not the ribbis. Ad kan look Amri Rabbanan hasam ela karen de behetera. Over there, the Chachamim say there's no problem with Reuven being paid back the $100 loan because the Karen is behetera. It is with permissibility. But avalhacha Karen gufa kamazik. The Karen itself, the straw that you put out into the street itself, is something that is hazardous that you have no right to put. But you have a right to lend someone $100. But you don't have a right to put out straw in the Rishus HaRabim. So that's why there's a difference. That's why we're going to make a knas on the guf of the straw itself in our case, but we're not going to make a knas on the $100 loan. Uzi'iri la malacha, and Zi'iri would tell you back, Ana da Amri afilu Rav Meir. I could hold even like Rav Meir. Now, how could Zi'iri hold like Rav Meir? I thought Zi'iri says we make a knas on the shvach, but not on the guf. But Rav Meir said, you're not even allowed to collect the loan. Ad kan lo kami Rav Meir hasam, ela de mishask siva, de avad le suma. So over there, Rav Meir holds that you're not allowed to collect the loan because from the time of the writing of the document, Ovid Le Suma, he made a Suma, a placing. What does that mean? So this is referring to the fact that the Pasuk tells you that Lo Sasimin, you're not allowed to put neshech on a person. In other words, you're not allowed, and we understand that to mean you're not allowed to lend the person on interest. So from the moment that you write up the document of a loan with which has interest, you are in violation of Los Asimun. Aval hacha mi yemer demazik, who says that it's going to damage anybody? Right, so for the moment of writing up the document, the loan, there's a problem of Los Asimun. But over here, when you put out the straw, it hasn't damaged anybody yet, so we don't know that there's actually a problem. So it could be that ribbis is different than our case of straw, putting out straw illegally in the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, now the Gemara says, okay, fine, so it doesn't fit with the machlokas tanaim in the context of ribbis. Let's say the machlokas between Rav and Zi'iri also is like the machlokas tanaim as follows. Hamotzi tivna v'kash l'Rosh HaRabim, if a person brings out his straw into the Rosh HaRabim, lizvalim, to turn it into fertilizer. V'uzik ben achren, someone gets damaged as a result. Chai v'nisko, you're liable for the damages. V'kol ha'kodim ha'en zacha, all who come, and the first person to come and take is zacha. V'asurin mishum gazel, and there's a prohibition of gazel. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kol makaglim rishos ram v'ziku, all who do something hazardous, who put hazardous items in the rishos ram and they damage, chayavon l'sham, you chayav to pay. The kolakodim and zacha, but and all who come to take it first is merits in the item. Umutar mishum gazel, there's no issue of gazel. So hagufakash, I don't get it. There's inherently a problem over here. Amrit kolakodim and zacha. On the one hand, you tell me that anybody who comes to take it is zacha. Vaharaka amar, and then you turn around and you say asur mishum gazel, that there's a prohibition of gazel. How does this work? The Tanakhama says kolakodim and zacha veasur mishum gazel. But Rabbi Gamliel, Rishon Gamliel turns around and he says, Kol kon men zacha umutar mishum gazel. So how does this work? How can you have both? So Gemara says, Elav hachigamar. What do we mean when we say this in the Braisa? Kol kon men zacha b'shivchan. Anybody who quickly comes and takes it is entitled to the shvach of the item. V'asur mishum gazel agufan. And there's a prohibition of gazel on the guf of the item. Now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is coming to say, "Afilu gufa nami." Even with respect to the guf, also kol kodem men zacha. Anybody who comes to take it first is merits to the guf itself. So what do you see? So it sounds like this machlokas tanaim lines up nicely with Rav and Zi'iri. So the Gemara says, "Lizi'iri vaday tanaihi." For Zi'iri, as far as Zi'iri is concerned, there's definitely a machlokas tanaim, because you can't say that everybody holds that you're not allowed to make a knas on the guf like Zi'iri does. So clearly, in Zi'iri's base measures, you definitely say that there's a machlokas tanaim. One aligns with Zi'iri, one does not. L'Rav, mile matanaihi? According to Rav, do you have to say that there's a machlokas tanaim? Rav would tell you that I don't have to say that there's a machlokas tanaim. Everybody is on my side. Amar lecha Rav. Rav would tell you, "Dekolei alma kan to guf mishum shevchan." Everybody holds that we make a knas on the guf because of the shvach. V'achabah halachavein morin kin kamiflagi. Machlokas over here is regarding the concept of halacha, about whether we say halacha ve'in marnkin, that the halacha is like this, we just wouldn't paskin like this. The Itmar, as we know, that there is a discussion amongst the Amoraim, Ravuna Amarav, halacha ve'in marnkin. The halacha is like this, but we wouldn't paskin that way. Rav Adabar Ava Amar, halacha u'marnkin. Rav Adabar Ava says halacha is like this, we just wouldn't paskin like that. So the Tanakama would hold halacha that when we say kantu gufan, mishum shivchan, he holds that the halacha is that way, but we wouldn't paskin that way. And so when he says kol hakonim en zacha, meaning you're entitled even to the guf, even to the guf b'di'evet. But if someone would come to consult you, we would not tell them that you're allowed to. We would say that there's an isser of gezel. And that's what he meant when he said, kol hakonim en zacha, v'asur misham gezel. If someone would have taken it, he would have merited to it. But if someone would consult us from the get-go, we would say, no, there's an isser of gezel. But if you would have come to Rav Shem Galil says, kol hakonim en zacha, but if someone would come to consult you, you would still paskin that he's allowed to. So Gemara says, any that passable? V'arav huna, ifkar chushli. Rav Adabar Ahava, ifkar sli kusta. We know that Rav Huna, he must mafkir chushli. What does that mean? What that meant is that chushli are shelled barley that somebody spread out in the Rishus Rabbim Nor so that they would dry out. So Rav Huna came along and he was mafkir them. In other words, he paskined that it was permitted for someone to take them. Rav Adabar Ava was mafkir slikusta. Slikusta is like the schmutz, the leftover stuff from the from pressing dates that they use to make beer, or according to others, it's like the dregs from dates that they used to make beer that were being dehydrated. And he was mafker. And again, same idea. Someone put in some left in the Rishus Rabbim, and he said it's permitted to take it. So what do you see? So now, Bishlam Rav Adabar Ava Kishmati, I can understand Rav Adabar Ava holds halach umarinkin, that if someone would consult you, you would pass in that way. Ela Rav Huna lemaharbe. So, well, Rav Huna, it seems like he was chozer then. So Rav Huna doesn't actually hold halacha ve'ein marnkin, because Rav Huna himself seemed to paskin that you're allowed to take these items. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good indication. Hanu musarin havu. Those guys, they already received hasra. They were warned already a number of times. And so that's why Rav Huna permitted people taking them. Okay, so where does this leave us? So just to summarize very briefly, we said in the Mishnah the concept of kol hakonim en zacha. We said there's a machlokes between Rav and Zeiri. Are you entitled to the guf of the item as well, or just the shvach? Rav says you're entitled to the shvach and the guf, and Zeiri says no, you're entitled only to the shvach. We were matched with the machlokes whether we make a knas on the guf because of the shvach or not. We had a kasha and Rav from the Mishnah where it says ha-hofich ha-zagalol, then in the case of flipping over the dung, it says that you're liable for nazikin, but it doesn't say that someone else is allowed to take them. So it sounds like it's Akasha and Rav. The Gemara said, no, you misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah means kol hakonim en zacha applies to the Reish, and it also applies to the Seifa. The Braisa says that there's an Isra of Gezel, so it sounds like there's an Isra of Gezel to take that dung from the person who left it in the Rishos Rav. It says, no, that's from the person who took it. Once a person takes it from the Rishus Rabbim, after Reuven illegally put them there, so now there's an Isra of Getzel to take it from that fellow who snatched it up. So the Gemara says, but the Braisa seems to indicate otherwise. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rav Nachman Yitzchok tells us, you can't really ask a kasha from Gaul. Gaul is a different story. There's only a knas when something can appreciate in value. This cannot appreciate in value. The Gemara says, okay, well, let's ask the following question. If you hold that you make a knas on the guf because of the shvach, does the knas kick in immediately or only after it appreciates in value? So the Gemara says, well, take a look. Didn't we raise a point from Galil? So it sounds like the knas kicks in immediately. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? We only brought up Galil before Rav Nachman came and gave us his answer. But once we have Rav Nachman's answer, we're not going to bring up Galil at all. Okay, so now then the Gemara moved down to say, sounds like the Machlokas between Rav and Zeiri plugs into Machlokas Tanaim. We attempted to bring up two Machlokas Tanaim. One is in the context of Ribbis. We find that there's a Machlokas if Reuven lends on interest, is Reuven entitled to collect the loan? Or do we say that you're not entitled to collect the interest, you're not entitled to collect the loan. Meir says, yeah, Reuven is not entitled to collect anything, but the Chacham say, no, he's entitled to collect the loan, he's just not entitled to collect the ribbis. So it sounds like the same machlokas between Rav and Ziri. And so he said, no, it's not really true. It doesn't have to lack an exact machlokas between Rav and Ziri. It could be that ribbis is a little bit different than our case over here. The Gemara said, okay, well, maybe it lines up nicely with the Machlokas Tanaim about Hamotzi Tivno. That in the case of Hamotzi Tivno, there's a line where the Tanakhama says, Kol HaKodem and Zacha, and there's an Itzar of Gazel, and Shimon Leil says, Kol HaKodem and Zacha, and it's much because of Gazel. So presumably, how does that make any sense? It makes sense because according to one Shita, there's an Itzar of Gazel on the goof of the item. And according to Shimon Leil, there's no Itzar on the goof of the item. So the Gemara said, well, actually, in Zairi's world, there's definitely machlokas tanaim. But in Rav's world, it could be that there's no machlokas tanaim. It could be everyone agrees that there's a knas on the guf because of the shvach. The only question is if we say halacha ve'ein morin kein. In fact, we have a machlokas amaram about halacha ve'ein morin kein, because we know that Rav Huna quoted Rav as having said halacha ve'ein morin kein, and Rav Adabar Ava says halacha morin kein. But the Gemara said, well, wait a second. Does Rav Huna Marav really say halacha ve'ein morin kein? Rav Huna himself, we know, permitted people to take barley that was left out to dry in the middle of Rosh Hashanah. Moir said, no, that was unique circumstances over there. He permitted that because those people were warned multiple times. And so he said, okay, these people were warned already. You can take the stuff that they left out. All right, let's hold here.